today from the prophet Jeremiah, verses 1 through 15, chapter 7, verses 1 through 15. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord: stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you men of Judah who enter these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your deeds, and I will let you dwell in this place. Do not trust in these deceptive words. This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. For if you truly amend your ways and your deeds, if you truly execute justice with one another, if you do not oppress the sojourner, the fatherless, or the widow, or shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not go after other gods to your own harm, then I will let you dwell in this place, in the land that I gave of old to your fathers forever. Behold, you trust in deceptive words to no avail. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, make offerings to Baal, and go after other gods that you have not known, and then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered, only to go on doing all these abominations? Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, I myself have seen it, declares the Lord. Go now to my place that was in Shiloh, where I made my name dwell at first, and see what I did to it because of the evil of my people Israel. And now, because you have done all these things, declares the Lord, and when I spoke to you persistently, you did not listen, and when I called you, you did not answer, therefore I will do to the house that is called by my name, and in which you trust, and to the place that I gave to you and to your fathers, as I did to Shiloh, and I will cast you out of my sight, as I cast out all your kinsmen, all the offspring of Ephraim. And then let us turn to 1 Corinthians 6, I believe it is. 6, 9 through 20. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 20. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord, and will also raise us up by His power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. May God speak to us through the reading and preaching of His holy word. May His name be glorified in our midst. Amen. When I was a boy about 10 or 11 years of age, we lived in Nashville, Tennessee. My father was in college there for 4 years, and it wasn't the best part of town. College students with families can't afford great places to live, so it was a duplex in a kind of a not great part of town. And near there was a big dump, which I loved. It was a great place to play. And there were also some train tracks that went by the dump. And me and some of my buddies, my mother would cringe if she were here. She's not here today. Me and some of my buddies used to hop on the trains. They weren't going real fast. But when they were going kind of slow, we'd hitch a ride for a while. And one day, when I hopped a train with one of my buddies, this train sped up after, you know, it started going. It sped up, got going faster and faster, and I didn't know when it might stop, whether it was going to slow down, what in the world was going to happen to it. And so I made the decision I had to get off. Like it or not, I couldn't just go across town. Who knows where I'd be? And I was only 10 or 11, so hey, I jumped. And when I did, I went head first and landed with my palms, which is a good way to land. But along the tracks, there are pieces of glass and so forth. So I have a scar right here on my, just right on the heel of my palm. I'll show it to you later if you want to see it. Of course, you can't see it from here. It's not much, but all those years, there's still a mark. There's still a scar from something that I did foolishly back in those days. Now, that's a mark I bear. I'm talking about the marks we bear today. And that's a mark, but there are more important marks than marks like scars from making foolish mistakes. There are marks, distinguishing features of character, too. And some of these distinguishing features are readily observed. They're what you do and what you say in public. It's your personal persona. It's what you put out for public consumption. Then there's other things that are marks also. And they are things that you do and think in your heart. Things that you do and think or do in secret. And they require a closer examination. And the truth is, only God knows the deepest things. He's the only one who sees all the marks that we bear from our lives. People of Judah and Jerusalem are being addressed here in Jeremiah 7. And let me just remind you that Judah and Jerusalem are the best of the best. That's the southern tribes of Israel. They're called Judah and Jerusalem. They're the most religiously observant. They're the most faithful to the covenant. The northern tribes are called Israel, and they've already suffered judgment. They've already been swept away, wiped away, carried off by the Nazis of the Near East, the Hittites. The Assyrians have already taken them captive and destroyed them and murdered them. But here in the south, in Judah and Jerusalem, are the Lord's best people. They are the people who remembered the right things. They remembered that they are the people of God. They went by His name. They are the people who remember the promise that God would keep them in the land as long as they kept His word. They are the people who still have a king. More of their kings were faithful than any of the northern kings. None of the northern kings were ever faithful to God, but a few of the southern kings were more faithful. And there the people and the place where the temple of the Lord is. The temple of the Lord. The great temple. And so Judah and Jerusalem had this attitude that we're not really very bad. We're pretty good. You compare us to those Israelites who got swept away in the judgment, you know, we're pretty good, relatively righteous. But the question is, what is the standard of righteousness? What is the standard? Not just relative righteousness, but what is the absolute standard? It's like what we read in our confession of sin. You know, don't have anything to do with the deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Don't be infiltrated by them. Don't let them into your heart and life and your mind. Keep away from them completely. And you have to say, well, how much do I do in that way? How much don't I do in that way? By God's standard, these people bore the marks of apostasy. By God's standard. Apostasy is any turning away from God and His truth. It is saying you believe, going through the motions of believing, but not really believing. Not enough to make the difference. And so these people needed to examine themselves. That's what God calls Jeremiah to do here as he preaches to them. And you and I need to examine ourselves to see if we have the marks of apostasy. There are three marks of apostasy, maybe more, but I'm going to mention these three. The first mark of apostasy is religion which finds security in mere ceremony. Religion which finds security in mere ceremony, in going through the motions. When you came to church today, did you come to meet a business associate? I mean God, of course, but did you come to meet with a business associate named God? Some people treat God like a business associate. They believe in Him. They know they have to deal with Him. And you know, some of business associates can be sort of friendly. You know, if you're making a lot of money with a business associate, you get together with him, you work out the next deal, you're both mutually happy because you got it right. Did you come here to meet with a business associate seeking something from him? Our prayers of petition are often cast in that way. Seeking protection from him. Even maybe going through the steps of confessing fault so that you can have the relationship right, so the relationship will work, so that you can get what you want from God. That's the business associate relationship with God. And I think that's what these people in Judah and Jerusalem were doing with God. He was someone they believed in, someone they had to deal with, but a business associate type relationship. Where did you come to meet with a lover? Now, you might have to think back if you've been married a long time. Hopefully not. But if you haven't seen your spouse, your significant loved one, you don't call them and say, I'd like to have a meeting with you. And they won't say to you, what's the purpose of this meeting? There's no need for a purpose of the meeting. It's because we love each other, because we want to be together. We want to talk together. We want to praise each other and support each other and care for each other. That's the relationship of a lover. Did you come here to meet with a lover? Just to be in God's presence, just to meet with God, just to have God? Or is it a business relationship? I'm afraid the people of Judah and Jerusalem were not meeting with their loved one, the Lord God, instead something else. And it resulted in a religion which found security. They were looking for security, a business relationship security, in ceremony, in going through certain orders of worship. And there was nothing wrong with the temple. And there was nothing wrong with the temple service. It was ordained by God. Can't make a fault about that. There was nothing wrong with Moses' law. It was good and righteous and holy. It was from God. But the ceremony and the business relationship was what they trusted in. Being the temple city was what made them feel secure against all the enemy armies that might come in. They were thinking to themselves, our business associate God will never, ever allow His temple to be destroyed. His city, Jerusalem, to be sacked. It can't happen because God won't let it happen because His name is here. We're secure. We're safe. They hadn't forgot how to worship. They hadn't forgot to come to the temple. They hadn't forgotten the mighty acts of God, the Abrahamic covenant, the miracles of the Exodus. But they had forgot to love the Lord their God with all their heart. You see, that's the love relationship. They had forgot to obey God from their heart. And their confessions of sin were a business confession, not a, I'm so sorry, my dear loved one, I have grieved you, please forgive me, thank you that you do forgive me. You see the difference there? So they bore the marks of apostasy, the first one being ceremonial religion that finds security in mere ceremony. The mark is the same in us, can be. Church attendance without a heart for worship. Without boasting in Yahweh. Hallelujah. Without meaning that, just saying it. Clinging to salvation, the hope of security on the basis of going through the motions. Business associate, not lover. God will extend real security of salvation to you if you're practicing mere ceremonial religion. If you're not delighting, then you may not really have it at all, even though you may feel secure. Ceremonial religion is the first mark of apostasy. The second mark is another one that we find here in this passage. That is a growing toleration or tolerance for sin. Tolerance is a very big word in our day. We're all supposed to be tolerant of everything. And if we're not, we need to go to sensitivity training. We are asked not to be judgmental, but to be tolerant. If people do bad things, it's not their fault. It's because of their socialization and their problem this, problem that. It's not their fault. We need to be tolerant. If people murder, well, you know, it's probably not their fault. They need to be adjusted. They need some kind of therapy. We're supposed to be tolerant of all kinds of things. We're used to being tolerant, aren't we? We're getting used to it. And we think about ourselves that way too. I'm not a bad person. I tolerate some sin here. I go along with some things. I'm not a bad person. A growing tolerance for sin is a mark of apostasy. I wouldn't make this up. God says it. You do this and you do that. You let this happen. You let that happen. You say, we're secure, it's the temple of the Lord, it's Jerusalem, this can't happen to us, we're free, we're secure. And God says, He says, go back to Shiloh, where I first let my name be praised, the first place that I marked and put my name, Shiloh, in the north, the first place of worship, go back and see what I let happen to it, if you think you're secure. It got destroyed, it got wiped out. He says this. Same thing can happen here. If we bear the marks of apostasy, and one of them is a growing tolerance for sin. I think we really have to say, if you're honest about it, we're all in that boat. We tolerate a lot of stuff. And then here's another one. Resenting correction. Resenting correction. Church discipline is the hardest thing. We have a book called the Book of Church Order, and it has one section called the Book of Discipline. It is the hardest stuff to accomplish. Usually, when you try to accomplish it, the people who need it will flee the jurisdiction of the church. They'll run away. They'll do anything but submit, which is what they promised to do when they took their vows. Resenting correction. You can't tell me what to do. You can't tell me how to live. You can't tell me. When it's actually God in His Word who's telling, and people who are bringing it about are just speaking for Him. Like Jeremiah, poor Jeremiah. What happened to him? In Jeremiah chapter 26, Jeremiah was threatened with death for saying what he said in Jeremiah 7, which I read. They said in verse 11 of chapter 26, "This man deserves the sentence of death for speaking against the city and the temple like this." What they really meant was for speaking against us, for correcting us. And they again compared themselves with the less religious northern people who had been judged. And they said, "How dare you speak to us that way?" They said, "String him up." They resented correction. Would you resent it if some concerned person pointed out a need for change in your life on the authority of the Word of God? Not their own authority, not their own opinion. Yeah, you can always reject that. But would you resent it if the Word of God came to you and pointed out a need for change in your life? Many people, the natural response is to rationalize and excuse and then resent if they're caught. And that's a mark of apostasy. If we're honest, let's be honest, we're all guilty to some degree. You and I bear all three of these marks of apostasy. The tendency to measure our spiritual health by religious observance. A tendency to find our security in a church connection, which is ordained by God. Please don't think I'm diminishing the church and membership and connection to the church in any way. I am not. It is ordained by God, and yet you cannot find absolute and ultimate security in it. If you do, you're treating God like a business associate, and you're joining the business association to get what you want out of it. We need to be sure that we're comforted on our way to heaven, not coddled on our way to hell. And we all find a place for certain pet sins. We all tolerate certain things. All of us. Each one. Me too. And this would be okay if we were our own God. If we were our own God, a lot of people will say that, by the way, if you talk about any kind of sin, they'll say, "Well, my God doesn't think so. My God likes this. My God thinks this is okay. My God has another opinion than your God." And the problem is, they are their own God. We have a God who contradicts us, a God who pushes back, a God who says, "No, you're wrong." And we still often find a place to tolerate certain sins. And we all tend to resent correction. But His is the love of a perfect Father. A perfect Father. Don't think of all the bad fathers, think of a perfect Father. A perfect Father who doesn't let us go, who doesn't give up on us, who doesn't push us out the door, but a Father who says, "I'm going to correct you It might hurt, but I love you. And I want you to love me. I want you to grow in your loving relationship with me. Therefore, I will correct you. That leads us on then to the single most important mark of salvation. It's a terrible thing to look at these marks of apostasy and say, yep, I got them all to some extent. But now let us look at the mark of salvation. And the single most important mark of salvation is repentance. Repentance. Repentance is not simply looking back to some past experience of commitment or of joining the church. Verse 9 of John, 1 John 1 says, if we confess our sins, and let me just stop to say this, that is in the present active indicative voice and mood. If we keep on confessing our sins, day by day, hour by hour, if we keep on confessing our sins, then it says, He is faithful to forgive us our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. If we keep saying the same thing God says about our sins, that's what confess means, to say the same thing. If we keep saying the same thing about our sins that God says about our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and keep on cleansing us from all unrighteousness, then we have security. I had an uncle who went off to Vietnam many years ago to war, and he had some sort of conversion experience, and he attended chapel services, and he encouraged his family to go to church while he was away. And when he got back, I don't think he went to church once the rest of his life. And yet if you asked him if he was a Christian, he would say, yes, I made a decision. I trusted in Jesus. I did this. I did that. We are not to ask, did I repent once? But we are to ask, am I living in repentance? That's what Martin Luther said in the first of the 95 theses. When our Lord and Savior said, repent, He was looking for a life of repentance, not a one-time act. Repentance can sound so negative, so negative. Repent, repent, repent. It's a bad word. But repentance has a positive side. Repentance means that as I keep coming to my lover, Jesus, the lover of my soul, as I keep coming to Him and He keeps forgiving me, as His Word says, then I keep growing in the reality of the irrevocable love of God in Jesus Christ, in what He did on the cross. As I keep coming back and He keeps giving it out, I keep growing in that love. I keep growing in the reality of who He is and what He has done for me. I keep having Him say, I love you and I paid for you and you were mine and I will never, 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 never leave you or forsake you. Repentance has a wonderful positive side. It is what we need to do. That's why we do it in a formal way in our opening of worship. We keep confessing our sins because it's modeling that relationship that we need to have day by day, of always coming to God and being honest with God and saying, even things I don't know, I confess to you, Lord, show them to me. And knowing that He keeps saying, yes, I forgive you. I have paid for your sins. It means that God still loves you, even though you're not perfect, and you're not, and you won't be, that He hasn't given up on you and that He still troubles you when you are in danger. Like a good father doesn't let a child run out in the street, but says, no, you come back here. You get out of that street. You be in the safe place with me. Repentance, the positive side, means that we have a love which is grounded not in performance, our performance, but in performance, His performance. What He did for us on the cross of Jesus Christ. Repentance, if we really exercise it correctly, brings about a growing love relationship so that we come to worship and go through our liturgy and whatever it might be to love God, to enjoy God, to delight God, to be more like God. I heard a story recently by a pastor, David Bisgrove. He tells a story of another dad that he saw in a candy and ice cream store with a little girl. The other dad had his little girl there. She was about 3. And she had one of these really big lollipops. And she was sitting there working this lollipop, licking, 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 nom, 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 good lollipop. And the dad wanted to leave. It was time to go. And he wanted to wrap up the lollipop. And he said, let's wrap up the lollipop so we can go. I love my lollipop, no, no, no. And he pulled out a dollar, which wasn't a very good idea, of course. Kids don't love dollars. And he says, do you love the lollipop more than the dollar? And she says, I love the lollipop more than the dollar. No good. Then he said, he asked the question, do you love the lollipop more than your doggy? She said, I love the lollipop more than my doggy. And he said, do you love the lollipop more than me? I love the lollipop more than you. Do you love the lollipop more than mommy? I love the lollipop more than mommy. What was going on here? Did she really love the lollipop more than her dog and her dad and her mom? No. If she had to think through and see the implications of that, she did not. But it was more real to her, right then and there, than the dog, or the relationship with dad, or the relationship with mom. It was more real, and so she was clinging to it, and she was licking it, and she did not want to let it go. Repentance, when we grow in our love for God through ongoing, continual repentance, then we see that the things, the sins, the things we cling to, the things we tolerate, the things that are against God's declared will are like the lollipop. As we grow, we say, no, I don't love those things more than you, Lord. I don't love those things more than you. I love you. You have given yourself for me. You have died for me on the cross. I love you. Thank you for forgiving me. Help me to love you more than these. That's what repentance does for us. So the single and most important mark of salvation is repentance. Repentance, which has a wonderful positive side. Listen carefully. It is good to get discouraged if we only see the marks of apostasy. Remember, Jesus came to call not the righteous, but sinners to repentance. If your life bears only the marks of apostasy, ceremonial religion, toleration for sin, resenting correction, then it's high time to get discouraged and realize that the message of Jeremiah, that the wrath of God is coming, is still true today for you and me. Our life will end not too far from now. The judgment will come someday. The wrath of God is coming. And just going through the motions, just ceremonial religion, will not secure us, just as it did not secure the people of Judah and Jerusalem. If you only bear the marks of apostasy, then flee to Jesus Christ. Flee from the wrath to come and find your shelter in Him who came to give His life a ransom for many, who, as Isaiah says, bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. people of God in Jesus Christ, listen. All of you bear the marks of apostasy. Do you also bear the mark of salvation? Are you living in a state of continual repentance? Repentance due to a love relationship with the one who keeps on forgiving you, who never casts you out, never throws you away, but keeps saying, yes, I will forgive. I do forgive. Are you living in a state of repentance and reliance upon the cleansing blood of Christ? Does the Spirit still jab your conscience about sin? Are you learning to meet here and in your own private worship with Jesus for love and delight? Are you? If you bear the mark of salvation, then don't give up because of the marks of apostasy. But keep on repenting. Keep on trusting in the one who died for you and who saves you. And then come here to delight in Him. Sing His praises with your whole heart. May God bless us and heal us and help us as we grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord God, we thank You that You are very patient and kind with Your people. We thank You for the words of Jeremiah, the Word of God, which rebuked, but the rebuke was to heal, not destroy. We pray, Lord, that we would be healed by Your Word, not destroyed by it, not devastated, but find in You a great lover. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.